All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Student Mindset Podcast. Today, I got a special guest. His name is Nathan Govindan. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm living the dream. How are you?
Good, man. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it for connecting with me. And thank you for coming on and being here.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. We talked a little bit before you came on just about the premise of the podcast. Is anything you can share, you know, your life story, your journey, obstacles, successes that the audience can take away and apply to their everyday lives, whether it's their career, professional lives, you know, as a student or as a parent. You know, we're all here to learn and learn from you as well.
Definitely. No, yeah. I mean, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area in California. Loved it.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm in San Jose.
No way.
The Bay Area. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. It's a fun place. Weather is absolutely beautiful. You know, it gets a little warm in the summer, at least where I was at. I was a little bit more inland, like Brentwood, Antioch area.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a beautiful area. Yeah. I miss it, to be honest.
Nice. Did you go to school out there and everything?
So I actually was homeschooled growing up.
Okay.
And so, I mean, more or less.
the whole kindergarten through high school?
All the way. Yeah. I mean, I did, for high school, I did like an online gig. So again, I got my diploma through that. Nice. And then, but yeah, I mean, I did, you know, still like played sports through like city leagues and things like that. And, you know, I was pretty active in church and stuff. And so, you know, I did a lot of activities and things through that means as well. But yeah, it's funny enough, about 2 years ago, moved up to Idaho, which is like,
okay,
pretty far up north.
Yeah.
Compared to Cali.
Yeah,
you know, the snow is it was a foreign concept for me.
Was it like a culture shock going from the Bay Area, California to over there in Idaho?
Yeah, culture shock would probably be an understatement. Yeah, it's like night and day. It's really pretty up here though. I mean, if you like hiking or things like that, anything outdoors. You know, Idaho's pretty nice. You know, you got to watch out for the snow though. There's like, you know, half of the year, it's pretty chilly compared to Cali. So
what had you move out there, if I can ask?
Yeah. So first I actually, so that's where I went to college. I went to college for a while. And that's where I went, just in Southeast Idaho. And so I did that. And then my family moved up here to be closer to family. And so I just figured, you know, hey, nice. Keep the family together. I'll move up here as well. And we'll go from there.
What did you go to school for?
So I actually went for about a year, and then I took some time off to do some just like religious service and stuff like that. And then I came back and I really did a lot of soul searching and kind of just came to the conclusion that, you know, for me, college wasn't the best path. Mm. So that's kind of where my journey began, is when I kind of like figured out, okay, what do I want to do with my life? And I kind of just determined, you know, for me personally, college wasn't the best road. I know for a lot of people it is, and it's, you know, like the best thing in the world for them. But for me, that just, it just wasn't it. I'm terrible in a classroom. And so for me, like I learn best when I'm, you know, when I have to go out and seek it. Mm. You know, go out and seek a mentor, or go out and seek a coach or something, you know, seek a book on it and do some like diligence and studying it. Not that you don't do diligence and study in college, but you know, you sign up for a class and it's just kind of all laid out for you. Mm. I personally like the adventure of, you know, okay, I got to figure out how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to learn this, you know, the adrenaline rush. That's just me. That's just what I like. And so that was kind of in part what led me to decide to drop out of college and even just kind of do my own thing, become an entrepreneur, investor, and even a best-selling author.
Wow. That's cool, man. I feel the same way. It's like, I find myself doing the same thing and asking the same questions. You know, it's hard to be in a classroom myself. It's like, because I like the way I learn is by doing and by watching others do. Mm-hmm. And then I can pick up on things and then really quickly and apply them myself. Which is why I came up with the student mindset, is because you can take different things from different parts. You know, you can pick from YouTube, from Google, from a podcast that I listened to with Nathan, and he talked about, you know, how to achieve your goals and things like that. And then I could wrap them around and apply them to my life, and which has been great so far. So I do relate with that, and I think that's cool. And I think a lot of people can take away similar things. You talked about your book, your best-selling author as a book. Can you elaborate on for the audience on, you know, what it's about and how you came up with writing it?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like it's, as far as, you know, how we came up with, you know, with the book and writing it. And I feel like it's kind of been a book that we've been writing our whole lives. And I co-authored the book with my brother, and I feel like we've been writing our whole lives. We just haven't put it on paper, but, you know, we've been living it, but we haven't really put it down on the paper and published it and edited it, all that stuff. And so that's kind of how it came about, just the way we live, the way we were raised. You know, I mentioned briefly how I was homeschooled. I was raised in a family just where, you know, the love for learning was just instilled in us, mm-hmm. because, you know, we were able to, I guess we had a little more liberty on choosing, okay, which books we want to read. You know, obviously there were some parameters and some structure to it, but it was just cool just to be able to have that love for learning. And so that's kind of where the book stemmed from. But as far as what the book's about, so we start off the book and, you know, we kind of go through the history of education in America and how we got to where we are today. But, you know, that's kind of just the beginning portion of it. After that, we kind of just go into, okay, what does it take to really live the life of your dreams? You know, what does it take to set goals and achieve them? What does it take? And so, you know, a big, just, I guess one of the premises of the book is just the concept of, it's not necessarily what you're doing, but how you're doing it.
Okay.
And so it's not necessarily, oh, if I study this, or if I do this, then this will definitely be the result. You know, if you do things traditionally, you'll get traditional results. But if you do things, you know, a little bit unconventionally, then you'll get unconventional results. Mm-hmm. And so that's more or less the premise of the book, as well as teaching people how to, if they want to create, you know, different streams of income. We talk a bit about that as well. So
what is the book called?
It's called Open-Minded Education.
Open-Minded Education. And without going, you know, too much into it, I want definitely going to put it in the show notes for people to get. Is there something specific you can go, like a maybe a small section of what people can take away, like actionable steps? Do you have anything like that actionable for someone to, like, if I wanted to start today after reading your book, what would I do? What would I start with?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first thing to do is to kind of sit down and have a little interview with yourself. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself where, and sometimes it's hard to see, but ask yourself, okay, where do I want to end up in the next 10 years? What type of life do I want to live? You know, do I want to, you know, wake up in the morning, get a little bit of breakfast real quick, and then go to work, and then come back, be there, you know, be home for dinner and all that stuff. Do you want that, like a 9-to-5 kind of gig? Do you want more like a work from home action? Do you want, you know, a little bit more passive? You know, what are you looking for? You know, what's your cup of tea? Because everyone, you know, has different strengths and different things they're looking for. Mm-hmm. But that's probably the number one thing, at least starting off, as far as an actionable step is what we'd say to do, is just figure out, okay, what kind of life do you want to live? And then based off of that, you know, think of, okay, what do you enjoy doing? And, you know, start there and building from there, and, you know, just figuring out, okay, I like doing this. Okay. What books do I know, or what resources do I know that could, that could get me, you know, a little more knowledge in that aspect. And as well, you know, think about, okay, how can that produce income? Mm-hmm. You know, how could I do it in such a way to produce that income? And we talk a lot about mindset, mm-hmm. Just about, okay, are you in lack or are you in abundance? And there's a big difference between the two.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That goes back to Carol Dweck's book that I read a couple of years ago, which, you know, blew my mind on mindset, because I think I find myself as the student that was, I played sports my whole life, right? And when you're small and you're around these other kids, you have some natural talent, natural abilities. Mm-hmm. And I find myself naturally gifted in certain areas of sports. And you hear that from, you know, parents telling you, or not just parents, but other people's kid, parents telling you, you're good at this, you're good at that, you're so good, to the point where it's like, okay, I don't have to practice. I don't have to work harder than the next guy. I'm gifted. I'm talented. They keep telling me I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And then as you grow up, you kind of realize, okay, the guy next to me was working harder than me. He went to off-season training. He got a mentor. He got a coach that developed his abilities and, you know, completely blew up in high school or college. And me, I got left in the dust. You know, it's like, okay, you're not constantly practicing. You're not constantly working at this or doing something to expand on your abilities. And that's why I love, you know, talking about mindset. And that's cool that you mentioned that in your book, is like, mindset is everything. What have you seen? What's the biggest pain point, I guess, you have seen your readers or kind of someone going through and trying to find out, you know, what their purpose is, or maybe what they are gifted at or talented at?
You know, honestly, I think for most people, it's really just, you know, the act of deciding.
Mm. Oh, it's huge.
You know,
yeah.
There's a number of things that, you know, that they may be good at or that they do enjoy, but it's like, okay, which one do I focus on?
Yeah.
And so that's hard. Sometimes that's hard, you know, because, you know, I don't like doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know, monotonous tasks. I despise them. I have the hardest time, which is one of the biggest reasons why I decided to become an entrepreneur, because I like the excitement, the change. But yeah, I think decision is probably one of the biggest things I've seen. And I guess with that is just, you know, the insecurities that are behind that.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, you know, I'm second guessing myself. Do I think I can do this, or, you know, can I actually do this? And the interesting thing is, just that, you know, we can do anything we set our minds to, and, you know, that's very cliche. You hear that all the time, but really it's true.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's probably one of the biggest things, is just the decision portion of it. And actually, you know, in part of the book, we talk about, you know, one of the things that sets apart, you know, the highest earners from those that are, you know, just, you know, the 9-to-5, and there's nothing wrong with being a 9-to-5 employee. Let me get that out of the way. But one of the biggest differences is passion. Mm. And having a goal, having a drive for something bigger. You know, yeah. not just the everyday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you can just sit yourself down and work on your ability to make decisions, then that's gold.
Yeah.
And start with the little ones, you know, start with the little things, just the little decisions. The small things lead to big things, the compound effect.
Right. Yeah, that's good. You talked a little bit about insecurities. Speaking of, have you encountered like imposter syndrome? I know that's pretty big going on right now. It's been talked about a lot because a lot of people feel that way. I mean, I felt this way as I started this podcast. I'm like, what do I have to talk about? What do I have to teach anyone? It's like, I don't know anything, which is why I get people like you who've gone through and has made the decision, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. That's huge. I'm going to drop out of college. That's huge. I'm going to write a book. And not knowing you're going to be a best-selling author, but then you're going to do it anyways. So have you encountered that? And do you know of any ways to go around that?
Oh, all the time. all the time. Yeah. I don't think anyone's exempt from it. I think, you mentioned, you know, you were thinking about that earlier, you know, hey, yeah, what can I talk about? Like, what do I have, you know, just to get this out of the way here is, you know, there's only one Lorenzo, you know, there's only one Nathan, there's only one of like me, there's only one of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for whoever's listening, there's only one of you too. Mm-hmm. And so you think about it, like, there's only one person that's been where you've been at the time you've been there, had the same experiences you've had, and, you know, has a mind just like you. You know, there's people that are similar, but, you know, to the effect of, okay, writing the book, right? If we take that, for example, only one person could write a book exactly like me. And that's me. Yeah. Only one person could write a book exactly like you. And that's you. Right. And there's different areas, you know, we know a lot more than we think we do.
Yeah.
A lot more than we give ourselves credit for, at least. And so that's kind of how I go about, you know, combating when, you know, the imposter syndrome creeps into my mind or whatever. That's kind of how I go about it, is just, you know, there's no one else quite like me. And there's like, I'll say things a certain way, you know, or someone else will say things a certain way that'll be just what someone needs to hear in the moment they need to hear it, in like that specific way.
Right.
And so just keeping that in mind, is just like, you know what? Like, even if I just get to one person, like that's good. Because yeah, that one person turns into two, turns into four, turns into eight, turns into 16. It just multiplies. And, you know, obviously you don't want to go into it with, okay, I just want to sell one book. No, that's not the goal. You know, if you do that, like, wonderful, you wrote a book, that's more than most people do, but that's not as far as you could have gone. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, the imposter syndrome in terms of like, yeah, I don't really see myself as a best-selling author. I mean, like, how could that possibly happen? You know, you just got to tell yourself to stop. Tell yourself to stop, because, you know, there comes a time when you just have to cut it out and just sit down, make the decision, just say, stop, and decide what you want to think about instead of what you are currently thinking about.
Yeah, that's good. I liked what you said, that you know more than you actually think you do, because it's absolutely true. I think I heard a quote from someone on a podcast, and he talks about, you know, having these conversations. It's good. It's great having these conversations, because you have things, maybe you read a book, maybe you read 3 books, 5 books, 20 books, and then you didn't know what you really retained from it. But when you're talking to someone, maybe a quote pops in your head to tell that person something, maybe a paragraph or a mindset you heard about that you want to share with that person, because it's so profound, it changed your life, and it could, you know, do the same for someone else, which I find very fascinating.
Yeah.
Was this your first book that you wrote?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That's the first one. Definitely won't be the last. I'm currently working on one. It's more of a kind of a religious type of book, just, you know, encouraging people to do, you know, more like religious service, but also, you know, understanding your purpose and the reason why you're doing it. And so it's really just all about purpose. But something you said that kind of resonated with me was just, you know, you'll be talking to someone and then a quote pops into your head. You know, that's how it is when I write. A lot of times when I write, I'm like, oh wow, that's a great quote. I'm just going to like throw that in there. You're like, that's perfect. Like, it fits beautifully.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, nothing is truly original.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to think about. It just could be original to us at this specific point in time.
Right.
Because everything exists. And that's where like the whole abundance thing comes from. It's like, you know, the Wright brothers, they didn't actually create the airplane. They just discovered it. Like the knowledge and the insight that they gained in doing what they did wasn't non-existent prior to the invention of it. It was already there. We just had to get on the right frequency.
Right. That's good. That's crazy. I never thought about it like that. Like, yeah, all the tools and resources, they're already in existence. They didn't create out of thin air, but, you know, the right things put together in a certain way, you know, made them be able to fly. So that's awesome. But yeah, it's crazy. We're talking about the quote things, because it's like, I'm like, well, I didn't even know you know, sometimes I surprise myself. I'm like, I didn't know I had that in me.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Nice. I'm actually starting to try to write a book myself, mostly surrounding the student mindset.
Nice.
Do you have any tips or something that I can, you know, learn or put to practice on, and actually, you know, how to write a book? Like it seems like a daunting task. You know, it's like you think of a book, you're thinking maybe 300 pages, 12 chapters, and a whole lot of information in there. You know, where would someone start?
I would, I mean, where I started was just starting with, you get a piece of paper and you just kind of mentally throw up on that page. Like you just start writing, you know, you write one, like a topic you want to write about, and then you can write things relating to that topic that you want to touch on. Mm-hmm. And you start with the bigger concepts, and then you just break it down into smaller and smaller concepts until, you know, you have chapters, you have, you know, well, first you have sections of the book, then you have chapters, then you have paragraphs, and then you even have sentences. And so you start with the big ones, but then just write, just start writing. It's a lot easier to edit than it is to write from scratch.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't doubt yourself. You know, sometimes I would just kind of start typing, just kind of see where my thoughts take me. But that's after I'd done the first process of, okay, write down all the topics I want to talk about, everything I want to cover. And then break it down into each specific thing. And I think that's key, just breaking it down, because yeah, it's pretty big. It's a big bite to chew if you take it all at once, but you know, if you just take one little bit at a time, it's a lot more doable and stuff. So,
yeah. And that's great, because that applies to pretty much anything like someone would want to do. If you have a goal in mind, like say someone wants to run a marathon, you don't run a marathon tomorrow without doing all the training, and then breaking it down. And like you talked about earlier, like that everything compounds, you know, with your decision. So decide, I'm going to run a block, I'm going to run a mile, and I'm going to run 2 miles, and then work your way up. I guess I got to think of it like that. And daily tasks compounded over time. I'm sure I'm going to get it done.
Yeah. I mean, a book on that I listened to, was by Darren Hardy. It's just called The Compound Effect.
Nice.
It's an amazing book. It's super, super, super.
I've heard of it. I haven't read it. So I definitely got to go check it out now that, you know, we talked about a little bit about it here.
Yeah. Listen, I like listening to books. It's for me, sometimes it's easier just because, you know, maybe when I'm at the gym or when I'm driving, I can just listen to it and still grow.
Yeah. Like an audio book or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Other thing I wanted to talk about, you say you co-wrote this book with your brother. I have, you know, brothers myself, and how did that kind of process, how did that feel, you know, kind of writing it with your brother? Was it like frustrating at times? Was it fun? How did that kind of process go?
In a word, yes. Yes. It was definitely, it was very fulfilling, you know, just being able to, you know, team up with one of your best friends, and just at least one of my best friends, and just being able to, you know, just to kind of bounce ideas off each other. You know, he explains things a little differently than I do. And just kind of coming together was really cool. There were definitely times, you know, it was a little harder, you know, like, okay, like you want to say it this way, I think it'd be better this way. But what we did was we kind of just split it. You know, we each took about, you know, six or so chapters. Mm-hmm. Then we said, you know, hey, I think you'd be better explaining this. You know, this is like what you're passionate about. So you take this, I'll take this, and we'll meet in the middle, and you know, we'll both help to edit it and go as far as we can.
Nice. Did you start a business as well, or you talked about being an entrepreneur and investor, and you know, what could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I am actually involved in multiple businesses, one of which is an HVAC company out in Cali, and we're going to be starting another branch over here in Idaho. So that's been fun, just learning, you know, about company cultures and hiring and all that fun stuff.
How did you get into something like that?
So my dad actually founded the company, and been able to learn a lot of, you know, the entrepreneurial type of things, just, you know, working alongside him and stuff. And so it's kind of cool, just being able to do that. You know, I would highly recommend that to anyone and everyone if they're looking to become an entrepreneur. Just find, you know, find someone you can kind of shadow, or, you know, maybe team up with, that can teach you a few things and that you admire, and that, that, you know, you can really just learn from, almost as a mentor type thing. Mm-hmm. I definitely would recommend that to anyone who's, looking to be an entrepreneur, not just entrepreneur though, you know, anything in general, right?
Right.
But as far as other things, you know, my brother and I, we did start a business based off of the book. We're getting ready to launch some courses in the next month or two, just about, you know, simple things like they don't usually teach you in school, like building credit, you know, budgeting for investing, you know, setting goals and like actually achieving them, and what to do maybe when you don't achieve a goal, you know, good debt versus bad debt. There's like a bunch of different things, you know, we're going to talk about. And so we're currently in the beginnings or the footwork of that.
Yeah, that's huge. So many people need to learn things like that. I actually didn't know how to budget my finances until I was in my mid 20s. And it's like, well, definitely need that. And, true. You know, getting into debt and things like that, things you don't learn, you know, in high school. And it's like so prevalent, you know, for young, you know, students to learn it. So that's good, man. I like that. One thing I wanted to talk about as well is what is one of your favorite kind of leadership lessons you've learned over your years doing multiple things?
That's a good question. One of the best leadership lessons is, and I heard this actually, it's actually a title of a book from Simon Sinek. It's called Leaders Eat Last.
Wow.
And so it's just the concept of, you know, just because you're a leader doesn't mean you're better. Mm. Right. It's just because, you know, you chose that path. And so, you know, there's leaders that lead from the back and there's leaders that lead from the front. Mm. And, you know, the best leaders lead from the front. And so that's one of the lessons I've learned is just to, you know, if it's going to happen, you know, it needs to, I need to set the example, so to speak. I need to be willing to show, you know, I'm willing to get in the trenches with you, you know, if that's what needs to happen, you know, to be able to show you that, you know, I'm here. I'm not just, you know, the guy that's chilling somewhere in the background.
Mm-hmm. And that's so good. Nice. As we kind of wrap up here, you know, time goes by so fast when you're doing these podcasts and having a great conversation. But yeah, I like to ask a couple questions at the end, you know, just to keep it light and fun and get to know you a little bit more. You know, what kind of music are you into these days? Are you listening or, you know, what's on your, I was going to say iPod, man, that's a long time ago. What's on your iPhone or Android that you got going on?
You know, honestly, it depends on the day, but most of the time I love some good reggae.
Oh, okay.
Kind of puts me in my happy place.
Nice. What's one of your favorite bands?
I like UB40, kind of a throwback. Okay. I like UB40. I like Kalohe Kai. He's pretty good. He's kind of, you know, a little more obscure, but yeah, I like that. I like some 80s. You know, I like a lot of the throwback type music. I like some epic soundtrack, depending on what I'm doing. A little bit of rap, a little bit of Eminem, depending on the occasion, but nice. Yeah, that's kind of my music selection. If I'm working out, The Score, the group, The Score is pretty good.
The group, The Score. Okay. I got to check it out. What is a book of yours that you either currently read or audiobook that you listen to, or, you know, something you would recommend for the listeners?
It's actually a book I'm reading right now. It's Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz, and it's interesting. So the author, he was a plastic surgeon, and he saw, like, you know, something in his patients. You know, people would come to him, you know, say their nose was big or something, you know, and that's why they're like, oh yeah, my nose is big, that's why my life is terrible. And then he'd fix their nose and their life would still be terrible. But he's like, why is this happening? And
yeah, so
he kind of goes into the psychology behind it, and it's like, okay, well, that's like, these are the reasons why, and this is how to fix it. And so, you know, even if you don't need, you know, plastic surgery, whatever, you know, like it's an amazing book. Just the concept of, okay, figuring out who you want to be, and then when you get off, course correct. It's nice. A beautiful, beautiful book. I would definitely recommend it. Psycho-Cybernetics.
I love that. Nice. All right. And one last question is, if you had a billboard and you could have it say anything for the world to see, what would you put and why?
Man, that's a good question. That's a tough one. I'd probably say I probably want it to say something cheesy like "you can do it," or like don't doubt yourself, or don't second guess yourself, something like that.
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, a lot of the cliches, they're cliches for a reason, right? Because a lot of them it's truth. It has a lot of truth to it, and people have been saying it for years, and that's awesome. As we kind of wrap up here, where can people follow you? Where can people get your book? If you have, you know, more things coming out, where can people find you at?
Yeah. Definitely just stay posted. We have, our website is openmindededucation.com. And, you know, we have some blog posts on there, just different things, you know, that whether it's hedging against inflation or finding a mentor or, you know, anything really along those lines. But yeah, I mean, the book's available on Amazon, Open-Minded Education, both paperback and Kindle. But yeah, definitely just get on that. And, you know, if you want to follow us as well and to kind of get in the community, it's Open-Minded Education Community, just a Facebook group. Nice. And so definitely recommend getting on there. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate you, Nathan, being on the podcast and spending your time and sharing your wisdom, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast.
Yeah. I love having people on here and learning new things, and definitely get to take some things away. And I like to re-listen to these and take notes, because I'm like, oh man, that's a good quote there.
Yeah, I know. Like these are good. I love podcasts.
Yeah. All right, Nathan, I appreciate you, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye-bye.